You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Show Recaps Theater presents Movies. So many movies as reviewed for you by your friends at Post Show Recaps. Featuring Grace and Ariel and their incredible movie takes, we hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back. We are here for another edition of Post Show Recaps Theater. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host, Ariel. Hi, Ariel.
Hey, what's up, Grace? How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, you're only like 1 inch taller than me, right?
I don't actually know between the two of us who is taller. I think you. How tall are you?
I'm 6'1" with shoes on.
Oh, I'm 6 foot, so you are exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, I'm technically, I think, like 6.75. So that's right, only right. It's barely that much difference.
Yeah. So we are here chatting about the action adventure film Uncharted, based on the video game, starring Tom Holland as Nathan Drake and Mark Wahlberg, as well as Sophia Ali, Tati Gabriel, and Antonio Banderas. Can you say Antonio Banderas? I feel like you can say his name better than I can.
Antonio Banderas.
Yes, yes. Movie based on a video game. I feel like, has there been great success with this, with these adaptations? What's the best video game to movie adaptation?
Oh God, I'm not going to think of any, but I'm thinking recently, the last few years.
Sonic.
It's been that good. Sonic was one of the rare exceptions, I think.
Mortal Kombat. They've tried Assassin's Creed. They've tried, Pokemon Detective wasn't bad.
Yeah, I forgot about that movie. Yeah. Isn't that getting a sequel?
I think so. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Yes.
Yeah, I feel especially like these like action oriented ones. Like they've tried like Rampage, and they've tried, there was one in like, I feel like they never really work. Well, let's give our, spoiler-free takes up top. Uncharted. See it, skip it, stream it.
Uncharted. I thought it was, perfectly fine for what it was. Like, I think to see it on the big screen for me was, somewhat enjoyable. It's action, if you like action. It does, at a lot of points, feel exactly like you're essentially playing a video game. Like, you start out and there's, like, this obstacle course basically, but the stakes are much higher than usual. It's visually pleasing. Tom Holland is charming. Him and Mark Wahlberg have no chemistry. They're not in the same movie, but I did like Tom Holland's chemistry with Sophia Ali when she shows up. So there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, there's a whole plot point about, like, why does Mark Wahlberg's character Sully, Victor Sullivan, like, mm-hmm. loop in Nathan Drake in these adventures? And you're like, the whole time I'm just like, they want this to be very emotional, and I'm not sure that's happening. But that's okay. Tom Holland is great in this movie. I did like Sophia Ali plays Chloe Frazier. I thought Antonio Banderas as Santiago Moncada was actually very fun. We'll chat about his eventful movie later. But I think that they like It's unfortunate for me a little bit that like so much was given away in the trailer almost, because I feel like so much of the fun of this movie, I felt like I had seen already, and I knew, and they make a weird choice at the beginning of the movie, which we'll get into when we do the spoiler section, in terms of like how they start this movie, that I think is like, yeah, it was just a weird choice, I guess. I don't know. Maybe this is all they had for the trailer, I guess, right?
Yeah, when you see the trailer and then you see the movie and you're like, wow, they really used all the good stuff. That's because they had nothing else, you know? It's unfortunate.
Yeah. So I don't think you need to rush to theaters to see this. I think that, if you threw this on a Saturday afternoon, once it hits streaming, probably the best use of your time in terms of watching this movie. May fold some laundry or do something else in the background, you know, but it's perfectly fine. I think we say this all the time on this podcast, but we like, should you go see this? It's like, I think if you like this type of film, you should go see this, which feels like the the most boring type of review. And it's like, I feel like we've said that about a couple other movies. Like if you like campy horror movies, go see Malignant, you know, like, if you like Jackass, go see Jackass, you know?
Yeah. With these ones, you know what you're getting and people will seek them out. It's that thing of like, if a movie's good, it can transcend the genre or like the trappings or the cliches of whatever genre it is. And this one doesn't do that, but it's fun at points.
You see, they put some post-credit scenes in there. Stay for the post-credit
scenes. I use the Run P app, which tells you when it's like a good time to go to the bathroom during a movie. And one of the advantages is they tell you post-credits, if there is stuff, if there isn't, like where, and I knew, I was like, okay, 2 minutes and there's a must-see. It rated it must-see. Like, this is a must-see scene. So I was like, oh, are we going to finally find out what happened to the... What happened to the brother? I guess we can get into spoilers.
Can I tell you something? So I booked a double feature on the movie theaters. I said, I think I can time this out. I'll go see Uncharted, and then I'll go see Death on the Nile, which we're going to cover at some point. Maybe, perhaps, who knows, actually. But, I was like, yeah, okay, let me go watch that. And so I'm like, you know what? I very quickly Googled, like, is there a post-credit scene? And it was like, yes. And also, here's what it is. And I was like, okay, I think I'm 15 minutes late, but there's like normally 15 minutes of commercial. So I'm going to leave the Uncharted movie to go scan my ticket and go to the second film. And so I leave, and then I scan my ticket and they're like, hey, that one that starts in 40 minutes. You're pretty early. And I was like, oh my God, I did my math wrong.
Oh, no.
So that's, I have not seen, I saw the first Uncharted. There's actually two post-credit scenes and I saw the first one, but I did not see the second one because I rushed to the Death on the Nile theater to sit there for 40 minutes. Oh, man. I saw the whole thing.
You need to get on the cruise.
To
get down the river.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the trip down the Nile if I'm late. So so I did not see the second post-credit scene. I do know what happens because I Googled it. But anyway. Let's talk spoilers. Let's talk spoilers in Uncharted. So this is what I was saying. This movie starts so strangely in the fact that it shows the scene from the trailer of him in the middle of the air, like on the cargo bays, which is like, probably the thing where I'm kind of like, oh, how the heck is he going to get out of this? Like, he doesn't have a parachute. Like, oh, this is actually tense. And then we watch the whole thing where he like gets back up and then he like gets hit by the car and the car, whatever. And then we flash back to his childhood. And then we flash back to before he's even on the adventure. And I'm like, what the heck?
I can think of good examples in TV shows of when they do this, when you're in the middle of the action, like, 48 hours earlier or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But here it's that, you hear, it feels very video game-ish, like I said before. And this especially, I was like, okay, this is clearly, to me, they're trying to like get the video game people or the people who are invested to like feel something here, because it is very disconcerting. He's literally falling through the air and he's asleep and he wakes up, and like that's where the tension comes from, of like, oh god, can you imagine you like wake up and you're falling through the air? That's scary.
That is terrifying.
But yeah, it wasn't very effective to then go to something boring after that.
My brother, his brother's kind of a jerk, isn't he? I feel like he's like, I gotta go. Let's help here. Help me try and steal the map of Magellan.
So many
and
then secrets.
When we get caught immediately, he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go. That cop, the cop who like brings him back and is like, pack your bags, buddy, alone.
Alone, so, yeah.
Doesn't do a great job.
Joke of a cop. Grace, did you know that Magellan didn't make it all the way around the earth?
Apparently.
Actually, he died in the Philippines, and this is all a scam.
Apparently, yeah. The 18th. What was it? The unlucky, the unfaithful. What are they? The something 18?
The unwarranted for me. it was, yeah. I mean, this. Yeah. I don't. And then I was like, "Is this true? Is this, you know, some like common myth that like people actually believe in the real world?" I don't know.
I think that's true, that Magellan didn't make it all the way across. I think what the inspiration here, I do think, is accurate, but maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. So the whole plot of this movie is centered around, basically, there is this treasure that the Magellan crew, basically the agreement that they agreed to was the Magellan crew could sail around the world and try and find this like treasure. And when they brought it back, like the Moncada family, where Antonio Banderas plays Santiago Moncada, one of the people in the family, that his family would have gotten the gold, but the Magellan crew hid the gold somewhere, so they would not have to. They would just come back and say, "No, it was a bust. Thanks for letting us do it." And then they'd go back and get the treasure, but none of them ever went back to go get the treasure. And so the whole movie is kind of centered around finding this treasure, which is worth, what do they say, like $5 billion in modern times.
I lost track. Apparently, the ships are very expensive as well themselves. And
the last scene of the movie actually made me incredibly mad when they were just destroying the ship.
Right after all that care, she was like, "Don't." And at first, she's like, "Don't ruin the ships, or I'll have your
head." Bullet holes.
Yeah. No bullet holes, or it'll be through your brains, and then
ram it into a mountain. Like,
no, and then literally in the mountain. I'm like, wow, well, there goes all that money from the ship.
They both sink. Both of them sink. Yeah.
Yeah, one of them gets like more exploded, but yeah, they both sink to the bottom of where they are. Yeah, where they end up.
And so Nathan Drake is kind of this like grifter who eventually Victor Sully finds him and sort of like asks him to come along with him. And we find out later that the reason that is because Sully used to like work with Sam, and he believed that Sam had a piece of the puzzle, like could figure out where sort of what the last puzzle was to find the treasure. And so Nathan then feels a little bit betrayed because Sully didn't really reveal to him that he knew Sam, and also that according to what we find out in the movie, that Sam had died by the hands of Joe, Tati Gabriel's character. She shot him somewhere. Wow. I can't remember. So
it's so like I didn't feel like they did this storyline justice, like the brother storyline. Like it's other, you know, the whole tension for Tom Holland's character is like, oh, my brother Sam, what happened to him? And then Mark Wahlberg's character like says that he died. I didn't buy his story at all. Like the whole time we're told throughout the movie that we're not supposed to trust him, that everything he says is garbage, and then there's no explanation, no further explanation. It's this bogus story that we get.
A lot of PSR coverage has talked a lot about, like, if you don't see the death on screen, it didn't happen. Like if we saw a flashback where like Sam is absolutely dead, I'm like, yeah. And I have not played any of the Uncharted games, so I don't know whether like this is pretty common knowledge for people that like Sam is probably not dead.
Spoiler alert, he's not dead, idiots.
Post-credit scene, we do see that Sam is in some jail cell somewhere, continuing to write
postcards. Huge beard.
He does have a humongous beard, yeah. I don't know. Did we know the actor who they're getting to put? I mean, gosh, this movie, I mean, it made just under $40 million, which feels okay for COVID box office, but also the budget is 120 million. They really seem certain that they're gonna make more of these, but I don't know. This did not feel like, gosh, this movie carried the weight of a full franchise that's coming.
No, this movie can't even carry the weight of those broken ships that it was trying to hurl through the air. I mean, it's I don't know, like, if people who are familiar with the video games, like you said, if this will be important to them. It seems like they spent all the money on like CGI. There's not much like practical stuff. Even some of the, you know, there's fight scenes, I guess, with the people, and some of those are kind of fun. But it seems like the majority of that money was spent on, you know, playing battleships in the air, or whatever you call it, with the helicopters.
Yeah, I thought the a lot of the stuff where it was like they're in Barcelona and the stuff that was built to like traps to like protect where the treasure is. I thought that the idea that like that stuff had been people had like built like a pizza shop over where it was. I thought that stuff was all actually pretty fun. I thought that going down through the church, although it felt like kind of like for a lot of the church stuff, like they were never really in danger. I guess like they turned the key the wrong way and it like the arrow shootout and whatever, but like there was some unnecessary, I felt like they were trying to build tension where there didn't really need to be tension. Like, what way do we turn the key? This is like vitally important now. When like typically when I turn a key, it's like I just turn it one way. I don't know.
Yeah, that was dumb that like Mark Wahlberg does something. Yeah, I think you're supposed to infer that he's acting, and then like he says, oh, turn the key the other way, and you're just like, okay, what was his motivation for lying? It doesn't matter. Wahlberg was like in a completely other movie. Like I felt like Tom Holland was more in like a buddy comedy, you know. Yes. Maybe like some action, I wouldn't say, you know, buddy cop comedy, but buddy comedy. And whereas like Mark Wahlberg was in like the Fast and the Furious movies. And, you know, I guess arguably there's not that much difference, but it just tonally they were in two different places for me.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, so I didn't mind this whole like, through the underground of Barcelona and like figuring out where the keys go and the fountain and all that stuff. Like, I kind of like this mixture of like, yeah, this like really, really old, treasure that they're looking for mixed in with like, yeah, there's a pizza shop here or like whatever. I thought that was fun. I thought they end up like in a club. I thought this was pretty clunky when they're like, we have to get to the other side of the club, but we can't let the big scum. Let's dance our way over.
You've never done this, Grace? You've never like, hey, come here, we got to dance our way out.
I do it all the time. That's why I'm mad that they stole this from me.
It didn't look realistic as when Grace does it.
Yeah. I thought the Scottish henchman, I thought that was fun when he like finds Nathan is trying to turn off the electricity for Sully to steal the key, and then the Scottish guy is just like speaking regularly. He's like, what?
Super Scottish. Yeah, that was such a good joke. Like Tom Holland.
But that was in the trailer.
I get what you're saying.
That was in the trailer, so like I'd seen it already.
They really used everything in the trailer that they could, and that's sad. I don't remember this trailer. I mean, I know I saw it, but I think it felt so mindless at the time that I blocked it out, and I guess I enjoyed the movie more because
What time do you get to a movie when you watch a movie in theaters? What time are you like getting to the theater to watch a movie?
Are we gonna do this?
Like, how much of the movie? Has the movie started already? Has it like...
No.
Because here's the reason I know the trailers. Because
you've seen it a million times.
Because I have anxiety about being late for things. And so then I sit there for... I know. Every movie I've ever been to since the theaters have opened, the movie will not start at the time that they say it starts. It will start...
Yes.
That's 15 to 20 minutes after that time. So I know I have time. I know that I have, you know, if it says 9:40, that movie actually is going to start at 10 o'clock. And yet there I am at 9:30, 10 minutes before, like, sitting in my seat waiting. So that's why I've seen every stupid trailer for like the past 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, these days I tend to like, if I've made it to the theater and it's like, wow, I actually got here for the trailers, that's where I pull out my phone and I do like any last minute things, which is crazy because I feel like trailers are sacred, but you know, these days you watch them all on YouTube, you know, ahead of time.
I do often, like if I've seen most of the trailers, I am normally like finishing the podcast in my ear, but so I haven't seen this trailer.
Like a Wordle or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd seen it. Well, I only get those one today, and I do mine as soon as I wake up. So.
I still don't know. I kind of know what the colors mean now, but I don't know.
Oh, I'll teach you the ways. Don't worry.
I feel like it's so intimidating.
No. Yeah, so I feel like I'd seen so much of this movie. So I feel like, that part, I feel like the Scottish henchmen, other than the dancing, I thought pretty much everything else about, like, the underground Barcelona stuff worked pretty well for me. And then... Boy, I just felt like we don't really go much from that. That's when they find the salt barrels, and Chloe turns on them.
But there's one more clue, Grace. There's always one more clue. I was like, when are we done with the clues? I thought we were post clue.
I was actually pretty excited because, like, I'm not normally one to, like, check my phone. And when they open the thing and they're at the salt where they find the huge barrels, I was like, whoa, it's been 2 hours already. This movie flew by.
Wow, salt is treasure. They're right. This movie's a metaphor.
Well, there is a thing when, like, Sully, he's such a dummy, when they actually find the barrels, like the crates of gold, and he's just like, oh, spices. I guess they just, like, thought spice was really valuable back then, and that's 5 billion. It's like, you idiot, Sully. No, anyway.
Sully's a fool. Yeah, there were times where I couldn't tell, like, Mark Wahlberg's acting is so wooden that, like, I really couldn't tell if he was joking, if he was being serious, if he was, like, being sarcastic, if he was pulling a fast one on them. I really couldn't tell. Like, I'm not being difficult or obtuse. I really just didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I do agree with you. I think that, like, the acting is a little stiff, and I think that it's probably the writing is a little, I feel bad saying this because I know that this movie was written by Rafe Judkins.
Co-written. One of three people. So
maybe he wrote Chloe's or something.
He wrote everything in the club.
Because what I do think beneath the surface here are actually some, like, pretty good themes, I think, actually, like, stuff that could be interesting. I mean, the games are successful. I don't know how much of people find, like, the story is fun, or whether it's, like, yeah, they're, like, globetrotting around the world trying to find, like, treasure that's, like, very fun. But there's a moment for me that works. This is going to sound really silly, but when they are sitting on a crate in the middle of the ocean, and and Chloe and Nathan are talking, and she's like, well, like, I had to betray you before you would betray us. And he's like, I'm not Sully. Like, I am not Sully. I thought that, like, if the movie could have made me feel that for more of the movie, if it could have made me feel like Sully is this weird thing where he is the main character, but he also, like, he's, I guess, not the main character, like, Nathan is the main character, but he's, like, a lead. And yet, so I feel like they don't want to make him more of a dick than he is, but he also is kind of a dick. Like, I feel like the scene where he finds out that, like, Sam got shot and is dead and is not alive, like, he's been using Nathan with the, like, lure, with the bait of, like, your brother's out there probably somewhere, you know? That's a huge dick thing to do. And I feel like Mark Wahlberg does not play into the, like, he kind of is like, well, yeah, I did that, you know, but there's no emotion.
Yeah, and you're like, what? And then Nathan just lets it go. This is the thing of, like, it seems, to your point, it does seem like going into it, you're like, okay, he's a lead. Then you think, oh, are they going to make him a villain? It seems like there's going to be a heel turn and he killed Sam, the brother, and, you know, or he knows something. And then it just never goes anywhere. It's just, they don't reveal, like, I guess they're you know, and I guess in fairness to them, they're holding on to the reveal at the brother of the brother at the end of the movie. But by the time that comes, you've stopped caring because now Nathan is just friends with him and we're supposed to forgive, like, potentially any implication he had, and Sam being
a cat. We didn't get a cat. So, you know, all is forgiven.
That cat looks like it swipes at people, I'll just say. and not because the cat is bad, but because Victor's bad. Sully? I don't know.
Sully. Yeah, there's just, I feel like, an emotional beat that's missing that I feel like they have all the setup there to be able to do it, that, like, Sully, you know, I don't know, I guess maybe they could have, I don't know, maybe I don't know if I want this, but more flashback between, like, Sully and Sam, maybe, I don't know. And so then, like, then Chloe's like, well, I obviously, you know, if you're working with that guy, then I can't trust you. So, you know, that's why I turned on you. But, like, I don't know. It just doesn't totally work. And then, gosh, the other piece that I feel like is a big failure of this movie is like, Chloe's actually pretty awesome in this movie, mm-hmm. and she gets nothing at the end of the movie. Nathan figures out the last clue, leaves a fake clue for her, and like the last act of the movie, she goes to the wrong place, and then she's on a boat while the helicopter's flying away, and they're like, "Got ya!" And it's just like, what the hell?
She was the most charming person on the cast. Like, you know, all power to Tom Holland, but like the stuff between them was the best stuff in the movie, and they just send her away. They misuse both of the female characters, like Sophia Ali, who plays Braddock. It's just, you know, I guess, you know, she's actually just a villain, so it kind of doesn't matter as much.
Sophia Ali is Chloe, and then Tati Gabriel.
Excuse me, Joe Braddock.
Braddock.
Yeah, thank you. It's just the two most compelling people on the other side of you know, acting against Tom Holland, and they're like, oh, they're not important. Let's stay on Sully, Mark Wahlberg, because
I have less qualms about Joe. Like, Joe, because, like, I think, like, this movie does a thing that, like, actually, like, for me, so far this year, maybe one of the most shocking moments I've seen in the theater, where, like, Antonio Banderas gives the speech about, like, we're going to get our money back, and then she just kills him. And I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, does it make a ton of sense that, like, then they're all just going to listen to her? I don't know. Like, they probably
She's badass. Yeah, to your point, like, she's like, all right, no more of that. This is my thing now, which I was like, good. You don't deserve to be under him.
So I thought that was pretty good. And then, like, is she, like, a little, like, you know, she's not super smart at the end, but, like, she's also the villain, so she, like, can't really use it. But, like, you know, she is, like, don't shoot anything. To be fair, lifting the boats up and getting them out of there in a helicopter, actually, like, pretty smart. Actually.
That's her idea. Yeah, I mean, you're right. She definitely has that's more to do than Chloe, who
disappears,
like,
in the third act.
Works for him, works for Santiago Moncada, and then, like, turns on him, but then doesn't. Like, by the end, with Chloe not trusting Nathan, and where does that end? I think they took it too far. Like, they needed to be on the same side by the end for it to make sense, but I don't know.
Chloe,
I guess she's not
going
to be in the sequel. Is she going to be in the sequel? Probably not. It doesn't seem like it.
Chloe doesn't even make her decision to, like, go back with Nathan and Sully because, like, she has, like, a moral objection to Santiago Moncada. So he gets killed, and then she's like, I didn't agree to work for Joe. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I gotta go.
My contract is null and void. I don't work for her.
Yeah. So, like, God, I don't know. This movie, some of the decisions they make. I'm pretty fine with everything that Joe does in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's really Chloe that I feel like gets the short end of the stick here in this movie. But
yeah, no, I would agree with her more so. Grace, did you know that the keys are your compass? I wrote that down. I was like, they've said this enough times.
They do love those crosses.
And then it turns into a ladder.
It's a ladder.
I thought it was a compass, but first it's a ladder.
This movie, there are moments again where, like, he puts them together and he, like, turns it. He's like, "This look like a ladder to you?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "No, it does not. That doesn't look like a ladder."
Wait, have either of these people seen a ladder before?
You've never seen a ladder, I don't think.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe ladders are different in other places.
I don't know. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk through the rest of Uncharted.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Okay, we are back. Gosh, I can't get over that they don't know what a ladder looks like.
That whole break, we were just, like, drawing ladders to ourselves. Like, is this a ladder? Do I know what a ladder is? Did I forget what a real ladder is? And now, like, there's a new ladder. Like, it's the Mandela effect somehow, ladder-wise. I don't know.
He learns that the keys are your compass when he... How does he? How? Okay. So the first
flash, the postcards.
Okay. Yes, that's what I'm getting to. The first flashback we see, and I know that like this is the thing that like they're choosing to show us this moment, and maybe he never does this ever again. But Sam leaves him this postcard or this like letter that has nothing written on it, and then he does the like lighter thing, and it like shows up in like secret magic ink that like there's a message for him. How have you never done with this with any of the postcards? It's the last thing he, I guess not the last thing he wrote you, because then he wrote you a bunch of postcards, but Sam has never with the postcards once done the magic ink thing. Never one, not once in this whole, the whole time he's had every postcard.
The most upsetting thing to me also is that Nathan has never repaired this lighter. I know it's an old lighter, but they can replace the parts for you. Like, if it really means that much to you, it's the lighter that your brother left you, right? I think that's where he got it from.
Yep.
Why? Like, and then by the end, he's like, damn it, it doesn't work. And also, that should have been the thing, not to bring up Chloe again, but like, when the thing wasn't working, I was like, oh, okay, this is where he's going to mention the brother and she's finally going to tell him, but no. Yep. There's no payoff really of the lighter. Just he could have used any lighter. It wasn't like he needed to use that lighter to reveal the secret, but he just happens to use that one. I don't know.
He also uses that lighter to light a cannonball and blow up a Scottish guy's helicopter.
Blow up that Scottish guy that he could never understand.
Yeah, never. No. I don't mind the lighter thing. I don't mind. And the fact that it's not working, I could see this thing where he's like, you know, if you go and get it replaced, it's not the same, same thing. So like, you know, but to me, it's more annoying that like, that's the way he communicated to you, was in secret ink language. And then you didn't do it on the postcards once. You've had this collection of postcards. Gosh,
he's just never been able to get over it. Like, oh, I can't look at the postcards for too long. It's too painful. He left me.
I love when he like finds the postcard of the church that they're in, and he like stares longingly at them. And I'm like, no, they're just they're postcards from all over the. Why do you like?
Because places never have the same kind of postcards like at more than one location. He's like, oh my god, my brother was here. Maybe he touched this other postcard 10 years ago.
I guess that's like to show that like Sam was like steps ahead, but like.
Steps ahead.
But
steps
he didn't have he
streets
didn't
behind on this.
He didn't have the keys because the key was at auction.
The key other, is your compass, Grace.
Here the other piece that I thought was really it's just a little movie thing, but like when they're like, we gotta do a lot of work to get one of these keys. We gotta get the cross. And so they like, you know, the whole scene, the auction. I didn't mind the like light bulb swinging. I thought he gets
It was very Jackie Chan.
Yes, was very Jackie Chan. He gets out of it pretty quick. I thought that like Sully
look
gets
over there
when Sully gets stopped by Joe and Joe's like, give me the briefcase. Mm-hmm. And then all these like the guards come in, the security guards, and he's like, he's in the suit. So he's like, please apprehend her. And then she fights them all. So like she lets him leave and then she fights all of them. Why not fight all of them plus Sully?
Because he gets away. She's like, I have to look, because they wanted to do the shot of over his shoulder, her like silhouette basically kicking ass. Like she's so good that we don't even need to show it.
Yeah, he's like, well, I wouldn't want to be one of them. And he like does his sure. And then in the background, she's like, you know, chopping their legs out from under them. But like, why do you let him leave? Just fight all of them and Sully.
This is one of many questions. I was trying to figure out where I knew Braddock from, and then I realized I knew her from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix.
Oh, really? I've not watched that. It's good.
She was good on that. I watched the first season. I enjoyed it a lot. She was at the witch school. But yeah, she's great. I do love her, that actress, Tati Gabriel.
Ooh, Sophia Lee, who plays Chloe, was in a lot of episodes of Grey's Anatomy. Did you recognize her?
I didn't recognize
her. She's Dr. Dahlia Kadri.
Yes, I recognize her now that I'm looking at her, because she's wearing she wears the hijab in that role. So that's oh my god, I didn't even recognize that. I'm so ashamed of myself. She's a doctor. This whole why you should have given her more to do, because she could have helped you.
She's just somewhere else and then on a boat for the third act of the movie. It's so dumb.
She basically gets to do like one last angry fist wave at them, like
but like
away.
Smiling, like you know,
looking
you got
fabulous,
me.
Looking
like,
fabulous.
F off! Like, come on, Come on. Well, this is the Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg movie. So
yeah, this is about bromance. Okay. Yeah. You can't come in here with your non-bro self and try to bro out. Yeah, but this bromance was a dud for me personally.
Yeah, there's like the combination of like Sully finally making a choice to like care about Nathan rather than where he has to throw his bag of gold at Joe.
That he's been trying to hold on to for like 20 minutes at this point.
This guy loves a backpack. He's always wearing a backpack. I guess
it's full of gold. Yeah.
You know what? I guess it's true. I feel like it is like in adventures when they always just like have nothing but just like whatever's on them. It's like, don't you need like a little, don't you need a little snack? Like, don't you need, you know, don't you need some rations or, you know, it's having the back, because they have the backpacks when they're in the church as well. But
some jerky.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. They dropped their bags in the club and it didn't seem like they got them back when they were dancing in the club.
No. Yeah. So he throws a bag of gold at Joe. I did think they loved this effect in this movie, which is somebody falling onto some part of the ship and then falling into the water. They loved that one.
They love it.
I actually kind of love it too. It's very like America's Funniest Home Videos. You're like, oh, that was great. That guy fell right into something. Yeah.
Wow. He knocked his head and potentially was dealt a fatal blow and now he's going to drown.
Like, yeah. Wow. That was great.
Wow. I mean, good thing this is CGI.
Well, the whole ship falls on Joe.
That I was like, wow, she got away. And then she did not get away. She couldn't miss. I'm glad they didn't make it like full comedy stupid where she gets a final like, oh, right before the ship hits her. Like, oop.
She looked right into the camera. Like,
yeah, she's like,
oopsie daisy.
Like, well, you're probably wondering how I got here. I was like, get away, swim away.
Yeah.
But I think the ship is too big and she probably died.
Again, I don't want it to feel like I did not like, I hated everything about this movie. I did think when they get to the ships, I thought that was actually very like cinematically, like very cool. I thought it looked cool. These like two abandoned ships just sitting. I don't know how they got those ships in there. Because they had to like,
oh yeah,
break.
Those holes were tiny. Well, obviously Magellan's henchmen hired
a helicopter.
They created a helicopter
that's
in their lifetime and then like helicoptered in these huge ships. I don't know. Maybe
there's another like thing that happens early on in the movie where like Nathan Drake, we like get this character beat about him that he like knows a ton about history. And then, like, after he swindles the girl out of her necklace and then Sully steals it, we never get that character beat ever again. We never get the, like, he knows a lot about history and that will help him. He's the one who, like, figures out the clue, but that's because of his brother, you know? Which I thought, I don't know. They're like,
yeah, he's presented as, like, this, like, know-it-all and, like, all he really knows is, like, he knows how to read, which, you know, he's able to read the manual and he knew where the church was. And he's like, what if it wasn't a tree? And I'm like, oh, what if this plot wasn't a tree?
What if a tree is, when is a tree not a tree?
It's a tree, not a tree. I was like,
it's a line
no.
from Dune. I think when
this
is
very Shakespearean.
Okay. So you figure, he does that stuff, but that's just cause he's reading the journal, you know, I don't know. I kind of liked like know it all Nathan. And especially about something that like, I think most people think is lame, but I'm a history major. So I was like, you go, Tom.
Was this historically accurate? Completely?
Yeah. Very,
everything
yeah.
that happened here happened, right?
Yeah. We haven't seen historical accuracy like this since the National Treasure.
That's so funny because I actually thought of National Treasure when you mentioned how cool it was, you know, like certain place, you know, there's like a pizzeria now where that thing was. It was like, that felt very National Treasure to me in like a really cool way.
Yes. I was confident. I said I really like the ships and I really actually did like the like I thought that the helicopter chase scene on the and it like kind of becomes like piratey because there's all pirate weapons on the ship. Like I thought most of the last other than Chloe not being involved, most of the last act I thought was like actually very enjoyable and it wasn't something we saw in the trailer. So I thought that it was like quite fun. We had not seen the like helicopters flying these giant ships. And so the idea of like there being like the helicopter and then like, so there being like futury like fight stuff happening and then below is like old school piratey stuff. And that was actually very clever. I was just very disappointed that the ships got destroyed. I was like, the historical record is ruined.
Yeah, it's that thing of like it did feel like, you know, we mentioned the beginning how video gaming felt, and this again, I could feel like myself sitting there and you'd be like, okay, this is totally a video game, you know, like now you're going up in the air, get ready, you're gonna have to like light this cannon, you know, whatever, get the gunpowder and blah blah blah, you know, as fake as it looked, it, to your point, it was fun.
It's like, oh, I thought it was fun.
Here we go playing chicken with ships hanging from our helicopters.
Yeah, and I think I would have liked the, you know, I would have liked the falling from the plane stuff if I didn't see it in every trailer. You know, I know Marvel loves a fight scene in the air, falling, descending to the earth. They love that. I thought this was like pretty fun. I was just like a little annoyed that like I knew that it was going to happen.
Yeah, to your point about trailers, Marvel does do a pretty good job of not showing stuff in trailers. Like, that's one of their things. They'll even create fake things to put in trailers so that they, you know, will distract from stuff in the actual movie.
Somebody was saying there's a scene in the trailer that's not in this movie. It's like a conversation between Sully and Nathan.
Probably the one moment of chemistry between Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg. They cut it out of the movie. They cut it out of the movie. This is too scandalous. We can't air this. It's only for trailers.
So I don't know.
Yeah, Antonio, I mean, we mentioned him already. Antonio Banderas, he similarly also is like, what movie is he in? Like, I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know. He's having fun.
I do
think he's having fun. He does. Yeah. He's like, very much enjoys being the bad guy. And it's hilarious that they just kill him off. They're like, yeah, you don't need to be here for third act. You and Chloe can go hang out in the green room.
We can only afford you. We still have to do the ship helicopter scene, so we can't afford you any movie. You have run your course.
That's right. Was there anything else from this movie that we missed?
There was just a little joke. I couldn't tell if this is like to my brain like working too hard, but like Sully, they keep calling him Sully, you know, Victor Sullivan is Mark Wahlberg's full name in the movie.
Yes.
And then they're on a plane, they're in the car at one point, and they're both like, take us to Teterboro Airport. I'm like, oh my god, Sully, Teterboro Airport, like where he was gonna maybe land. I don't know, they were in planes at one point too, but I just thought
they
it was distracting. I was like,
that he was called Sully.
Yeah, why did they name him Sully? I don't like that.
They do that joke when like Sully, I guess they do some character development here where Sully is gonna leave Nathan to get caught. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't get caught, and he shows up in the car before him, and then he's like, Teterboro Airport, and then he's just like,
yeah, they repeat,
I can drop
it.
You home, and then I do like when Tom Holland is like, no, Teterboro Airport.
I remember that part clearly because It was cute Sully, little moment.
He's a pilot. He flies a helicopter at the end of the
He's probably a great pilot. You know, he lands. There was air in the water. Like, it's all very. This movie is basically a backdoor like prequel to the Sully movie.
He hit no birds. Would this have movie been better if Sully was played by Tom Hanks?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you imagine Tom Holland and Tom Hanks?
Tom and Tom. I would actually.
And it turns out he's his dad. Ugh, I can see it.
I would actually love that.
Grandpa, maybe.
Yeah, they never explain what happened to their parents. Oh,
I thought that it was going to turn out that Mark Wahlberg was his brother.
You thought Sully was Sam.
Yeah, and then I realized, you know, they had shown him pretty late in life. You know, he was like a seemingly post-teen or teenager. So, you know, you can't change that much. Maybe
He shows a picture and he's like, here's your brother. And I did have the same thing where I wondered, like, is that Sully? Mm-hmm. And Sully is Sam.
Sully is the brother. See, it's the true.
I did wonder. And then the more it went on, they were like, And then we get the post-credit scene where it's very clearly that's Sam. There's a weird call, an homage to Indiana Jones in this movie where Tom Holland. So they don't explain this super like when the line happens, the homage line, I'm like, that's so weird. But when you think about it, it's so he was raised by nuns in the nunnery. Mm-hmm. Him and his brother are orphans and they're raised by nuns. And so when he goes into the church, there's like a nun who gives him side eye. And he's like, nuns. Why does it always have to be nuns? Which is an homage to Indiana Jones' snake line. And I just think, I don't know if that works. I don't know if that works.
If it is actually intentional, which it seems like it is, that's not a great homage. as far as I'm concerned,
there's another one where when they're looking in the church and they like push the pew out of the way and they find the like thing and they notice that like the 18, a bunch of them have like little squares. And there's this very quick where like they did not care about like they didn't care about the audience being like also being able to do the puzzle, because he's like, this is the temple, and then there's a ladder, and he like just like, yeah. just, like traces like, a circle.
It's pointing over there. Like, okay, like, cool, pointing. Thanks. Like, all right, let's go. I don't want to read this thing anymore.
Yeah. Okay, we gotta go right there. It's like, okay. All right,
I guess all he seems to be the only one who knows how to read this weird like doodle.
Yeah, it's like a sigil, and he's just like tracing the dust off, and he's like, well, we have to go down that stairwell.
Yeah, but it's like, I see three other lines. Like, I don't know what you're a square has four corners. I don't know what you're talking about. He's Tom Holland. He's Spider-Man. He has a spider sense. He gets to do some pretty good, probably fake acrobatics here.
Big year for Tom Holland. Is he supposed to be in anything else this year? Let's see. Because it feels like to be in Spider-Man and Uncharted doesn't look like he has anything else upcoming. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess end of the year because Spider-Man came out right at the end, but he's basically still living off of that.
Wait, he's going to be in a TV show that he is executive producing called The Crowded Room. And his role, he's Danny Sullivan. So he's Sullivan.
Wow. That seems like some kind of
Amanda. Oh
my God. He's going to play Fred Astaire in the untitled Fred Astaire biopic.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool. I hope he learns how to dance.
Apple TV. They lured Tom Holland into an Apple TV show. So, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fred Astaire. He's going for the big play. Big biopic.
When does that come out? Yeah,
it's pre-production, so probably not till next year at the earliest.
Oh, in an Apple TV show or?
Oh, sorry, no, I'm talking about the Fred Astaire project. Clearly, I'm obsessed. I don't know.
Yeah, so he's going for his Oscar, right?
Yeah, The Crowded Room. Yeah,
Fred Astaire. Yeah, role.
Seems like it.
Okay, all right. All right. I think that is probably a wrap on Uncharted. Apologies if you loved this movie. And we sat here and critiqued it a fair amount, but you know, it was like a popcorn action flick, you know.
It wasn't boring.
It was not boring. I didn't think it was boring. And there's pieces of it.
There is pizza.
Yeah, they fight in a pizza shop.
I love pizza.
There's pieces of it that I thought worked, and there's underlying themes of the story that I thought, you know, if they're gonna franchise this out and do another one, they could find it with some better writing. So sorry Rafe and the other two who wrote it.
He's taking his swings, you know, and he's probably getting a lot of notes, and I'm sure he'll find his way.
I liked Wheel of Time. Let him keep making stuff. It's fine.
Yeah, see, there you go.
All right. Have you watched anything else this week?
Oof. This week, nothing movies.
You're watching a lot of TV.
I'm watching so much TV these days.
Yeah.
Just got through covering Inventing Anna, the Netflix miniseries, The Shondaland Show. Did a podcast for every single episode with my co-host Marissa, and that was a lot of fun. I think similar to this, we had a little more fun talking about it than perhaps watching it. Also covering The After Party, the Apple TV Plus show, both those for post-show recaps on the Binge Show Recaps feed. So you should find that and subscribe. Let's see. And you can follow me on Twitter at @thatotherariel and on Letterboxd at AR_F. I think that's everything.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at High From Grace, doing Euphoria coverage Mondays with Amon, as well as a rotating panel of guests covering Raised by Wolves. We were doing daily podcasts over there on the HBO feed with Josh and Taryn, although we are now caught up. The show is now airing weekly, so we are moved from daily podcast to weekly podcast. So check that out. Over on Rob is a podcast, the Sports Wrap Up. We are on a little bit of a hiatus. We will come back in about a month probably to start talking about March Madness, and then we'll be back weekly for a bit. Hold Up is a podcast I do with my friend Hudson, where we talk about LGBTQ media from the past. Last week we talked about 30 Rock. Next week we're talking about Bound, the Wachowski film, Ariel.
Oh my God.
Yes, their first motion picture release. The lesbian drama, lesbian action film. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And I've been doing some streaming over on Twitch, twitch.tv/highfromgrace. Played Raft the last week.
I've been
playing some.
Played actually, Rafe?
So here's best. I said it's playing with Philly, who's a big Wheel of Time fan. Prez, BB Present, big Wheel of Time fan. And I said we should call our Raft Judkins.
yes, that's so good. I love it.
Yes, they did say yes. Yeah, so that was pretty fun, as well as I've been playing some Crusader Kings. Very fun games. Check that out. I think that's all. We will be back soon. We'll be back with sooner than even people think, because we are starting a special two-part project, Ariel, with one LaTanya Starks, where we are going to talk about the Oscars and make our predictions. The Oscars are also about a month away, but we figured we'd jump in early to give our predictions, you know, our reviews of the movies that have been nominated, maybe some of our snubs, and so that people have some time to obviously take our recommendations and watch the Oscar movies that they should watch. So those should hit your feeds, at least part one, in the too distant future, or maybe already is in your feed.
My God, I love how time works.
Whoa, yes. All right, we will be back soon. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye.